Creation, the psalm that we've just read is probably the most well-known passage in the entire Bible. Well, I'm guessing it's one of, if it's not the most well-known, it's probably one of the most known. The Lord's My Shepherd is probably the most well-known song based on the book of Psalms. It's a psalm that has brought immense comfort to countless Christians on their deathbed or their sickbed. It's a psalm that has deeply encouraged believers as they've gone through the valley of the shadow. The words David wrote some 3,000 years ago, words that live on in our hearts. Which, when you stop to think about it, is somewhat surprising. Why do I say that? Why is it somewhat surprising? Well, when David wrote this psalm, he used images, very familiar images, to those who were around him. There's a picture of a shepherd leading his flock to pasture and protecting them. There's a banquet table in the midst of enemies, oil being poured on the head, overflowing cups dwelling in the temple. We don't have shepherds like that these days in our neck of the woods. Do you have enemies? You ever had enemies watch you as a banquet's prepared for you? Oil poured on your head? Overflowing cups? Well, we did one in church a couple of weeks ago. But there's no temple to dwell in either. And superficially then, you'd say that we've got very little in common with these vivid images that David uses. And yet, they still speak to us, don't they? That doesn't make them any less treasured for us. But as we become even more familiar with the images today, as we look at the first half of the psalm, and next Sunday as we look at the second half, as we become more familiar with the images, may they speak to us ever more deeply. May the message of God's word be ever more evident to us. May we grow and gain comfort and assurance. May we delight in David's God ever more and ever more. As we look at the first three verses of Psalm 23 this evening, we see one reality and then a number of benefits that flow out of that reality. Let's begin with the reality. What is it? Well, the reality is, of course, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to hazard a guess that we don't know very much, really, from general knowledge, about what it means to be a shepherd. Perhaps you have some warm, fuzzy pictures in your mind about what it means, this noble man caring for the sheep, a life in the great outdoors, waking up each morning. Well, think again. This is how one commentator, James Boyce, describes it. He says, in Israel, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all works. If a family needed a shepherd, it was always the youngest son, like David, who got this unpleasant assignment. Shepherds had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day, and the task of caring for them was unending. Day and night, summer and winter, in fair weather and foul, they labored to nourish, guide, and protect the sheep. Who, in his right mind, would choose to be a shepherd? As I reflected on those words, it seems to me very much like the life of a mother of a newborn baby, doesn't it? 24/7, without ceasing, an unending task. But instead of being wakened in the middle of the night from a warm, cozy bed, the rain is dripping on you as you lie on stony ground at the base of a tree and a chill wind is blowing right through you. You're at Yandina in the Solomon Islands and the rain is never ending and you're outside. The life of a shepherd. And this psalm is telling us the Jesus story. That the Lord God Almighty, our Creator, who is resplendent in glory and majesty, stoops down to us and takes on the role of a shepherd. He stoops down to us. He wraps the towel around his waist and washes our feet. He loves and serves and dies to care for a flock of sheep. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven. To earth come down, as the hymn says it. The reality, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. But here's something else to observe in these, still in these opening verses. David doesn't simply say, The Lord is the shepherd of Israel, the shepherd of his flock. That would be true, wouldn't it? That's how Psalm 80 put it, those words we opened our service with this evening. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. But you know, if that was all that David was saying here, if that's all he had said, we'd have lost something. We'd have lost something very important. Someone very important would be missing in this psalm. Who would be missing? You would be missing. You see, the reality that is a source of great consolation to David isn't that the Lord is the shepherd or that the Lord is a shepherd. It's that the Lord is my shepherd. The psalm, like, I think I can say all of the psalms, is an experiential psalm. It's not merely abstract truth, but it's concrete reality that drills down into everyday personal experience. Can you say those words with me this evening? Can you say them? Do you know them to be true? The Lord is my shepherd. And yes, I know he's the shepherd of other people too, but he's my shepherd as well. You can say those words and mean them if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he, of course, is the great shepherd which the psalm points ahead to. Those words of Jesus before from John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. They will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Brothers and sisters, have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd calling out to you? Calling out to you in the midst of your brokenness and sin? Calling out to you in an inviting tone? Welcoming you to come and to find rest. Rest in Him. That's something that you haven't done. And just because you're in a church doesn't mean that you've done it. And you may be young, you may be old. That voice calls out to you today, calling for your response, for all must respond. As you hear the invitation of Jesus, his voice calling out to you, you pricking up your ears. It's a wonderful voice, this voice that calls out to you. You hear it, it's kind and tender. And yet at the same time, it's strong and courageous. A winsome voice, a lovely voice, a voice you can respond to this evening. Yes, Lord Jesus, you are my shepherd, and I want to follow you. I am a sheep who has strayed. Please lead me. Be my shepherd. And friends, if you do that, if you have done that, if you've done so many, many moons ago or only recently, you'll be able to take the words of this psalm on your lips this evening. And claim with boldness and with gladness, the Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord being our shepherd is a wonderful and glorious thing. And there are many benefits, glorious consequences that flow out of this reality that David speaks to us here. That's what we want to spend the remainder of our time this evening meditating on. The benefits of the Lord as your shepherd. And the first of those is contentment. I shall not be in want. To put it another way, David's saying, I am not deprived in any way. I lack nothing. Sheep left to themselves lack everything. But if the Lord is our shepherd, we're in good hands. Or we could put it positively. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And it's my prayer that you would know this sort of contentment in your life, a deep and growing satisfaction in God that makes your other desires in this world fade away. Would you seek contentment with me as we seek to mature in Christ? That we might hold more loosely onto the things of this world and long more deeply for the things of God and for Him. Because as we do that, we will we will experience a growing satisfaction in every area of our lives, a growing confidence in the God who feeds the sparrows. And if he feeds the sparrows, then he will most surely provide his sheep with all that they need to serve him now. The Lord is my shepherd. And that brings, that gives us this gift of contentment. Contentment is one. If I would ask the children what another thing is, they'd probably say, like the other morning, what else would we have? Grass, wouldn't we? We'd have food. That's one of the things that God gives us. The second benefit of belonging to the Good Shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Pastures of fresh grass, food, luscious food, if we were sheep. And no less abundant provision for us who live not on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. The church father Augustine, when he preached on this text, he put it like this. He said, "The pastures that this good shepherd has prepared for you are not various kinds of grasses and green things. Your pastures are the words of God and his commandments, and they have all been sown as sweet grasses. These pastures have been tasted by that man who said to God in Psalm 119, verse 103, 'How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.'" You see, with the Lord as our shepherd, he has food for us. He has food not just for our physical bodies, he has food for our soul. Our children have just finished 2 to 3 weeks of school holidays. Maybe you've been on holiday as well. We've just had friends staying with us on their holiday. And I say, what a good thing it is when a holiday is not merely a break from regular work and routine and in school, but a time where it can be a time of spiritual refreshment, when we're able to feed on God and his word to prepare us for regular life as regular life resumes. Well, they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Well, you may not have been on holiday. Holidays might be a long way away for you, but whenever they are for you, I pray that maybe the next time you're on holiday, you'll be able to eat richly from the food that God gives. And so be able to enjoy a break, not just from routine, but be able to take spiritual food in abundance to recharge your walk with God. But even if you're not on holiday, that you would be able to find in God this rich source of food for your soul. Your soul might not starve, but be well fed. Because the Lord is my shepherd, and he gives me food. He also gives me refreshment. He leads me beside quiet waters. The Hebrew word that David uses here speaks to us of a restful, quiet tranquility. Isn't it true that we live in a busy world? And the pace sometimes seems to be getting faster and faster, or maybe it's just that we're getting older and older. And the more gadgets and devices we have, the less and less time it seems that people have to just to be able to think. When do you ever hear silence in the world? You go to the mall and there's ever-present background music. People walk down the street, I do it too, with headphones in their ears. It's almost as if people are afraid to be left alone with themselves and their thinking. And as I meditate on these verses, meditation is the very thing that comes to my mind. Not meditation in the sense of a trance or anything like that, but careful and prayerful reflection on the greatness of God. That is Christian meditation. On the glories of Christ, on the love of God, on the forgiveness of our sins, on the hope of glory, on everything that is precious and has been promised to us. Of course, this is almost the exact opposite time of year, the exact wrong time of the year to be making resolutions. But there's no rule about not doing so. So I want to give you a challenge this evening instead. A challenge rather than a resolution to take time, even if it's 10 or 15 minutes, even if it's just once a week, maybe on Sunday as the day of rest, to just put everything down and go for a walk and just get away from it all and ponder, chew over in your mind like a like an animal chewing the cud, ponder in your mind something spiritually glorious. Like a sheep might have being fed on rich grass, rich green grass, walk beside the waters, chewing the cud, chewing it over, having an internal conversation in your mind. Perhaps you might invite God into your conversation that would turn your meditation into prayer, to be refreshed in the Lord as you might beside restful, tranquil, quiet, smooth waters. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me refreshment for my soul. He helps me to find peace in the midst of a busy world. He leads me beside quiet waters. The Lord gives me contentment and food and refreshment. He also offers me forgiveness. I'm not going to put it up yet because you're thinking to yourself, where is forgiveness mentioned in Psalm 23? Well, following it through, so you have to kind of work it out from that. But look again. He restores my soul. That's what the psalmist says. That's what David writes. That language of restoration is the language of bringing back. Think of the language of the good shepherd in the parable that Jesus tells. He leaves the 99 to go and search and find the one sheep who has wandered away and gotten lost. And friends, that one sheep, it's us, it's you, it's me, it's we who have turned away from the good paths that God has set before us to go our own way. And perhaps as we reflect on this psalm this evening, perhaps recent life has been like that for you. You've strayed off the path. Perhaps it's even the case that nobody else in this room, maybe no one in your family, maybe no one knows. But you do. A secret sin, and you've turned your back on God, turned your back on His commandments, on His word. My friend, this evening, the Good Shepherd is seeking you. He's seeking you out once again. And you need not fear that you will be unwelcome to return to the sheepfold where the other 99 sheep are. The other 99 sheep aren't going to say, well, we told you so. You shouldn't have gone wandering off in a funny way. And yes, you may be a little bit embarrassed for having strayed, but you need not doubt that the Lord will receive you back. He who restored even his disciple Peter, who denied him three times. My friends, if you are a sheep of the Good Shepherd, then you are in the grip of grace. For the Lord is our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and He forgives His returning sheep. He restores them. And the fifth and final benefit of being in the good hands of the shepherd is guidance. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, writes David. Friends, if sheep are going to get to the right place, sheep are in desperate need of guidance. Sheep are very good, as we thought about last Sunday morning, sheep are very good at playing follow the leader, but they don't really ever check to see where the leader is going. And shepherds these days do things a little bit differently. You might expect me to know, given I do, after all, come from the land of the long white sheep. Then again, that may just be your prejudice. Because according to the latest figures I could find, there are 44 million more sheep in Australia than in New Zealand. But it's true, I'm a little familiar with sheep. Green hills all over New Zealand, and sheep are a common sight. They're absolutely everywhere on land that's probably not good for much else. Well, back in New Zealand, we have farmers driving sheep, driving them in front of them, not in the car with them. We have farmers who drive sheep on a four-wheel drive farm bike with dogs keeping them on the move. Here I've read in the Weekend Australian about outback stations using helicopters to drive sheep or cattle in the right direction. But that image we have of sheep being guided in the right direction, well, the biblical imagery of shepherding isn't driving sheep, but leading sheep, guiding them from the front, as we read about in John 10 before, which is a picture for parents and for church leaders as well. Setting a good course, calling your sheep by name, inviting them to follow. When the Lord is our shepherd, he guides us in the best paths, and paths of righteousness, David says, paths that lead us to a life that is right and good and noble and glorious. Down paths that may not seem at first glance like the most attractive paths. It shouldn't be a surprise to us, should it, that the Lord leads us away from paths of sin, which quite frankly appeal to us often. For he is leading us not along the broad path that leads to destruction, but on the narrow path that leads to eternal life, where few walk but gain life. As we read God's word, inevitably, whether it's in church on Sunday or in your own devotions at home or as a family, so we read God's word, inevitably, it will direct us to change in our lives. Because we haven't arrived and there is still so much sin that lives deep within my heart and I dare say within yours as well. There's so much sin that remains in us and seeks to control us, seeks to overpower us. But our Lord is the good shepherd. And if you follow where he leads, I can assure you this evening that you will not be disappointed. Perhaps this is a season of change for you. Perhaps this is a season of difficult decisions that need to be made. Well, the Lord our shepherd would have us do this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, which also comes with a promise. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Friends, the Lord is our shepherd. He is my shepherd. He gives us contentment and food and refreshment, forgiveness and guidance. He is our shepherd and he is good. Let's pray.